Romans chapter 6, I'm calling today's message, Remember Where You Came From. So look in chapter 6, verse number 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. So let me stop and hit this here because it's not part of the message, but I want to say it because of our young families and those with children still in the home. Obeyed from the heart. You would do well to study how many times the Bible talks about obedience of the gospel and obeying the gospel. I'll just be honest with you, Brother David, we don't preach that often enough. But obedience, if the gospel could be summed up in one word, and that word is come, what is left for me and you to do? Obey. Right? That's why I believe it's for everybody, because the Bible is clear that he tasted death for every man, and I believe if they'll respond to what we call general revelation and acknowledge that there's a sun, moon, and stars, and somebody bigger than me had to make it, if they'll respond to general revelation, God will give them the opportunity to respond to a more specific revelation of his son, Jesus Christ. And obedience is a big deal. Just going to go ahead and say it. It's been over a year ago. I guess Caitlin shared with Chris an incident with their daughter, sweet-natured, you know, little lady. But there was an obedience issue that she was trying to teach her. I would add, at a very early age. Please don't wait until they're six. You might as well reserve them a spot at the Henderson County Detention Center if you wait till six to start teaching obedience. And I'm not trying to embarrass her. I'm also not trying to lift her up. I'm just using it because that's how I preach. I preach to the people I'm preaching to. I'll preach to the Jews the next time I'm in Jerusalem. Not being a smart aleck, okay? If preaching ain't helping me, I'm going to go hear somebody who's going to stand me up and call my name. My preacher did. He said, son, you too impatient with your wife. She said, amen, he's right. And I got right. Gene, I've been patient ever since, right? That didn't go over too well. No, her mother said to the little girl, she said, you've got to learn to obey me. You've got to learn to obey daddy. She said, God's going to deal with you one day, and I want you to say yes. She said, if we hadn't taught you how to obey, you're not going to know how to obey Jesus. You say, Preacher Ames, that's a little extreme. I love it. It sounds, my Bible's, heaven and hell are extreme. Right? The world we're living in is extreme, okay? And boy, that's why they try to blur all the lines. Y'all with me? See, there's a method to their madness. 57 genders. There's not 57 genders. Two-year-olds know that. I'm not being crude. And they want to blur all the lines. And no right or wrong, no left or right, no heaven or hell. There's no third choice. So let's understand that God is a God of extremes. Let's keep going. Okay, all you young parents, hang on to that word, obeyed. Verse 18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. That does not mean they had a head cold. It meant they were walking around with an infirmed flesh. Your flesh is a broken mess. Okay? And if you don't think it is, ask the rest of us. There we go. Thank you, Brother Morris. Okay, I can count on Morris to help me when the rest of you dry up. Okay, so the infirmity of your flesh, as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity. Is that not a message? You've yielded them to iniquity, unto iniquity. That is deep right there. That is talking about a little bit of sin is not enough. They want more. Iniquity unto iniquity, okay? Even so now, yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I'm not being irreverent to Paul or the Holy Spirit. Paul is setting us up in chapter 6. Because chapter 7 tells us about that horrible battle that's going on. Chapter 8 tells us about the amazing victory that we have. Paul is not lost in chapter 6, struggling in chapter 7, and victorious in chapter 8. He is telling us his journey. And if you're saved, you're going to have a journey. You think you were just, you know, super Christian the day you got up from calling on Jesus. It didn't take long for you to find out you weren't. There's a growth process that has to go on in our lives. Here's what one author said, and I preached this one, I'm going to say, 3 Wednesday nights ago. One author said it this way: become what you are. Become what you are. The classic example for me, it fits, maybe it's because I'm a grandpa, is my grand, and I got 5 beautiful, amazing, beautiful, sweet, you name it, granddaughters, but I've got 1 grandson. I am an only son. So we're pretty proud of Fletcher. But my classic example is Fletcher Boone Raines. Is that, Chris Hewitt, is that not a masculine name? Fletcher Boone. Okay, if he ends up being prim and proper and prissy, I'm going to die, okay? I hope he plays the piano like his papa, but other than that, I hope he's rugged and can live 17 days in the woods without coming out. Okay, not 16, not 18, 17. So here's the deal. Fletcher Boone is a Raines. Good, bad, ugly, or indifferent, Fletcher Boone is a Raines. He's got a Raines temperament. Mama, say amen right there, okay? I'm thinking, no, hear me out. I hope he's got a work ethic. I hope he's got some natural giftedness and talents and abilities in there, okay? I come from a long line of hardworking people and all that. Lots of problems too, but Jesus has helped us with those. But my point is, right now, looking at 1-year-old Fletcher Boone Raines, you don't see a whole lot. Y'all ain't worried about his potential and all that. You just see a cute little boy, okay? We hope he's not that cute little boy 2 years from now. We hope he's a 3-year-old who's showing some potential. Are y'all with me? That is a perfect example of where we are as Christians. The day you got saved, the day you were born, like that little baby back there, the day you were born again, God was living inside of you. But that old man was alive and well and kicking and screaming. And that's why one author said, become what you are. It's in there. Let God work in you and mold you. So let's look at these. So Paul is setting us up in chapter 6 because he's reminding us when we were the servants of sin. What is this whole chapter series on victory about? Victory over sin. Where does he go in chapter number 6? He reminds us of what it was like to be in sin. Let's fast forward. Let's pick a range, 5 years. Let's fast forward 5 years. You've been saved a while. You've got Bible reading down, and you might be a little bit awkward, but you like to tell people about Jesus, and you're faithful to church, and he's helped you learn how to give and all of that. Your mind gets dulled. Your memories fade about just how awful sin was. Okay? And that's why Paul, before he knew where, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, not crediting Paul, other than being an instrument God could use, he knew that when he was getting ready to tell them how rough that battle is going on, he said, I'm going to start in chapter 6, inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and remind them of how bad it was when they were a slave to sin. Okay, so here's number one. This is so simple. Number one is the fact, and here's the fact. Every lost person is a slave to sin. Look in verse number 17. When I stop, say the next word. Y'all ready? But God be thanked that ye the of sin. Somebody tell me what servants means. Y'all know. Tell me. Slaves. You were a slave to sin. Paul is reminding you were a slave. Come on now, folks. We got a history of slavery in this country. It's not pretty, right? It also gets contorted and used for other people's advantages, okay? But slavery ain't pretty. We were slaves to sin, So one more, 19, go to 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, the brokenness of your flesh, the sinfulness of your flesh. For as ye yielded, past tense, your members, that's your body, what? Everybody, I'm in the middle of 19. You yielded your members, say it, church, to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity. Boy, I want to preach that, but there's more there than I'm ready to preach. You yielded your members, servants, unto iniquity and unto sin and unrighteousness. You were a slave to sin. Verse number 20. For when ye were the of sin. I'm repeating myself, not because I don't have anything else to say. I want you to remember when you were a slave to sin. The most wicked person in this room, just everybody in here would agree that was a wicked life. You were a servant to sin. The most morally upright person in this room, raised with good old-fashioned North Carolina mountain values, which I greatly appreciate. I love you. I think of your family. Am I right, sister? Am I right? So nobody in here thinks I'm singling you out. Salt of the earth, good people, no more than I know them, and our acquaintance is mostly through funerals and death. If I drove up there, Miss Danielle, this afternoon, those people would give me, Preacher Raines, anything I need. It's the kind of people they are. But if that's all you've got is good upbringing from Madison County, you're lost as a ball in high weeds. We don't like that. That bothers us country people. Because we like to say he's a good old boy. He'd give you the shirt off his back. And he is, and he would. That doesn't save him. We've got to get a hold of that. You say, Brother Raines, I'm not sure it's all that bad, especially in these Bible preaching churches. Go to a funeral. We preach every one of them into heaven. You say, Brother Raines, do you? No, by God's grace, I don't. I try to be as kind and as loving to the family as I can and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. If families who know God and walk with God and love God come to me and say, preacher, he did a little prayer when he is 8 or 10 or 12, but there's never been any fruit that he knew Jesus Christ, I can't preach that man into heaven. Besides that, his eternal destiny has already been sealed. So I have to preach truth. And I want everybody in here, from Logan to the oldest saved person in this room, to remember and understand that you were a slave to sin. Now let me say something for the Logans and the children and the teens. You will understand that better, buddy. You will understand your lost condition better later down the road than you did the day you called on Jesus and got saved. Does that make sense a little bit? If not, ask me after church. Alyssa, you'll understand just how lost you were later. And here, I'm going to rat out the devil real quick on you. And here's what the devil will do when that realization comes over you. You'll go, I didn't understand that when I was how old were you when you called on the Lord? 9 years old, you woke her parents up in the middle of the night, said, I'm lost and on my way to hell, and I think I'm a good little girl, and my goodness isn't good enough, I need Jesus. That sounds like the Holy Ghost dealing with somebody and drawing. You're going to realize on down the road just what your lost condition really was. And the enemy will whisper in your ear and say, you didn't really get saved then because you didn't understand this then. If God tells anybody they're lost, they need to get saved. But if the enemy whispers in somebody's ear and tries to confuse, they need to go to the Word. The devil deals in confusion. The Holy Ghost deals in conviction. Perfect synonym, not correct in the Scripture at all. Perfect synonym for conviction is convinced. Read it, study it out. It is a perfect synonym for that word. God put the right one in the Bible, but it is a perfect synonym, and that's what it means. I want you to turn with me very, very, hold your place in Romans because we're coming back. Go, run with me quick to Psalm 14. Very, very quickly, Psalm 14. Jake, I love you, buddy. You're a hardworking, good young man. You were a slave to sin. Seth, you were a slave to sin. Christina, you were a slave to sin. Psalm 14, Brother Raines, Preacher Raines, Pastor Raines, you were a slave to sin. Psalm 14, look at verse number 2. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is, say it please, that doeth good, no, not one. Isaiah 53, quickly, Isaiah 53, verse number 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Please understand me this morning. Every lost person is a slave to sin. I'm all for encouraging our children. I'm all for equipping them to go far with their lives. But we better be real careful as grandparents and parents that we don't give them an inflated view of their self, because they are a sinner who needs a Savior. Time out. That does not mean you make a federal case over every 18-month-old action. You say, Brother Raines, where do I draw the line? You need the wisdom of God if you're going to raise a child for Him. I'm going to illustrate it this way, and then I'm moving on. We have friends in Georgia with a special needs daughter. Most of her special needs are reflected in communication disorders. Her mind works fine. She has a hard time communicating. But because of that, she gets petted and loved and pampered and told how sweet she is and how beautiful she is. She's adopted. The daddy called a family meeting, got everybody together, and he said, and she wasn't there, okay? He said, I need to remind everybody of something. He said, she needs Jesus. He said, all we do is tell her how wonderful she is, how beautiful she is, how sweet she is, how kind she is. He said, if we're not careful, she's never going to see her need of a Savior. He said, I thank y'all for loving our adopted daughter. I thank y'all for being kind and welcoming her into our family with her special needs. He said, but please don't forget she needs Jesus. He said, we're going to make it real hard for her to understand she needs Him. You say, Brother Raines, I wouldn't do that. I understand it. But you know why we say we wouldn't do that? We have bought into humanistic philosophy in this world. Our grandmas and our great-grandmas didn't know anything about humanism. Somebody help me now. We came forth from the womb speaking lies. We need a Savior. Micah, she's beautiful and she's precious. She needs Jesus. Those are amazing kids, Matthew and Caitlin. They need Jesus. Don't ever forget it. Brother Chris, I love them. They're precious. They need Jesus. Everybody, we all need Jesus. Okay, number one, the fact. Go with me back to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. If God has made it clear to you and you understand your enslaved condition better now than you did then, but you have evidence of God working in your life and you believe you're born again, you say, Brother Raines, how do I reconcile that? You thank Him for what He did for you and say, Lord, I understand better today what You did for me than I did the day I called on You. Don't let that concern you. Several years ago, in the middle of a message, I realized that at 6 years old, I probably understood about as much of the gospel as my daddy did at 25. And he agreed with me, Tommy. He said, you're exactly right. He said, I didn't know anything. He said, I knew I was lost, and I knew Jesus was the only way. Try convincing him he's not saved. You say, well, Brother Raines, well, I don't understand. I'm staying there for a minute because that change was so radical. It's harder to say, I'll bet it wasn't real. If Jesus saved me and kept me from all that at 6, wasn't that radical? Somebody help me now. You children and young people born and brought up in Christian homes, you heard the gospel, you believed it with all your heart. Everybody I know who got saved later in life told me straight from their own mouth, I knew that profession I made as a child or as a teenager was worthless. I went because my friend did. My grandma died and I saw my mama crying, so I said a prayer. I'm like, that's not in the Bible. And they'd look at me and go, I know, that's why I knew I was lost. If God's, listen to your preacher, if God's working in your life, you know it. I believe that with all my heart. And I'm not minimizing doubt. I've been through it. My wife's been through it. And we've helped many of y'all with it. But I'm telling you, if doubt is of the enemy, assurance comes from God. God deals in conviction. The enemy deals in confusion. Amen. Back to Romans 6. Look at verse 21. What fruit, my first word was fact, my second word is fruit. What fruit had ye then, past tense, in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is, say the word, the wages of sin is death. Number two, the fruit. I'm reminding you, Paul knows where he's going in chapter 7. He knows where he's going in chapter 8, okay? Again, it's through the work of the Holy Spirit. And he is reminding them, you're getting ready as you grow in Christ to have a battle between the flesh and the spirit. Let me remind you what the flesh did for you. And he said, then you're not going to be so tempted with this sin. I'm just going to give you these references. Jot them down if you want to. 1 Timothy 5:6 is written to the young widows who he encourages when the Lord opens the door to remarry. Because he said, these are going to be temptations you're going to be faced with. And he makes this very interesting statement. She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Is that not an oxymoron, if I'm using the word right? Y'all follow me? He said she's living, and she thinks she's getting along just fine, but she is dead while she's living. So I want to ask every one of us in here, what fruit did you have when you were lost and out in the world? What did it bring forth in your life? Even if you were Susie Sunday School or Billy Bible, raised on a church pew. I want to ask you, what was that fruit? Because let me tell you something. You can hide a whole lot of filth and carnality with a shirt and a tie. And independent Baptist kids have got it down to an art form. Preached at a men's event yesterday. The pastor called me over to the side. He said, let me tell you what God did for some of our young people this week. And they were at a youth retreat. And one morning, the Holy Spirit just moved in and God started working in hearts. And he said, young people started confessing. And you should have seen the look on his face. He said, Brother Ains, I was blown away with what my 12, 13, 14, and 15-year-olds are dealing with. Welcome to 2022. Y'all with me? God help us, church. I thank God for our young people. I thank God for our parents. I thank God for every good thing that goes on here. But don't get blinders and don't get blindsided by the fact and think that dressing up and looking pretty and singing and playing an instrument makes you spiritual. They still got a heart that needs, I say they're saved. They still need to grow. And they're still dealing with the world that you and I grapple with at our ages. They're still dealing with it at 15. And they're not equipped the way you and I are. So let's talk about fruit for a minute. Here's my burden on this point, Brother PJ. It's these second and third generation kids around here. They weren't raised, Preacher Raines, in a drunkard's home. They were raised in church. They heard the gospel. Believe God dealt with them, and they called on God. Here's how one preacher puts it. He said he's been at a place that has a 40-year history of strength and God's presence. And here's how he expresses it. He said, the first generation I pastored there was saved out of the world. And they were out in the world wondering about the things of God. God saved them, brought them in, and they were so thankful for this refuge. Brother Matthew, he said, now I pastor a generation, this is all they've ever known. He said, and I find them looking out, wondering what's out there. Y'all with me? So parents, grandparents, the worst thing you'll ever do is rebuke them for wondering what's out there. I believe I'm right. They got a sin nature that wants to know what's going on out there. They got a sin nature that wants to know what mom and daddy's been trying to protect them from all these years. Everybody was with me on point number one. But when I tell you that they're going to be looking out there wondering, they are, because they got a sin nature that's as big as Dallas and it's crammed inside of them. Yeah. Say, Brother Raines, what's the answer? Number one is prayer. Yes. Number two, you better let them see that what's in your life is real. Yes. If they see one thing from you at church and it's different at the house, they're not going to be real impressed with what we got going on here. You boys, better be real at the house. If it's not real at the house, Brother David, it's not worth a hill of beans. Here's what church means to me. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I believe you'll agree with me. All that really needs to go on here is a corporate gathering of what's been going on at the house for the last 6 days. I've believed that with all my heart for all my adult life. This is, don't get me wrong, this is very special to me. But on the other side of the coin, it's not special at all. It should be very, very normal. What I should enjoy here today is what I've been enjoying at the house all by myself this week. Right? Word, prayer, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Right? But on Sundays and on midweek service, I get to enjoy it with yuns. Y'all, come on, somebody help me. I think some of you stunned when I said your children are going to be looking out there in the world. They are. No, my teaching's been better than that. Read my friend. Mama and Papa, am I right? Here's my understanding of how y'all raised her. Every question she ever had, you answered them. You didn't get on to, you ought to be ashamed of yourself for thinking that way. Well, let's put your thought life on the big screen. Mother Teresa. And Billy. Come on now. We near Asheville. Y'all know who Billy is. This is the home. We're in Billy's backyard. Are y'all with me? He's got a sin nature. So now let me meddle. I done made generation one struggle a little bit. Generation two and three, look at your preacher. Andrew, there's nothing out there. You're at least third generation, right? I know your parents and your grandparents. Beyond, do you know anything about the greats? At least fourth. Bible-believing, fundamental Bible-believing Baptists love Jesus. Is that wonderful? It doesn't do a thing for you if you don't apply it and live it out. You don't get it by osmosis. Oh, I'm a subtle. I mean, my parents left beautiful North Carolina to go live in the tundra of Maine. I get something. Something surely just spills over on me. No. Nothing spills over on you. So all you second and third and fourth generation people, here's what I want to say to you. And I mean no, Miss Gloria, I mean nothing ugly. I know your families. All you have to do is look at the fruit of sin in their lives. Thank you, Miss Danielle. Brother Jim, I thought about whether or not to say that. I don't want to hurt you. I want your families to walk. They're on our prayer list. I want them to walk in these doors and get right, and we'll shout. I'll love them like I love you. Miss Kim, sitting there in that hospital these last 6 weeks, we see the fruit of sin. Right here, Brother David, within arm's reach. And over here, Cam and Morris and Miss Kim praising Jesus and giving him thanks. The fruit of righteousness over here, the fruit of sin over here, fruit of iniquity. You young people, which one are you going to choose? I'm not being ugly. Do you want to be the one who falls in the casket with absolutely no hope? Or do you be the one who sits there with a tear in their eye and a hand in there going, God's good? I'll take this way. And I'll say this to all of our whatever generation. It was those old timers walking with God who showed me he was real in the hard times of life. Brother PJ, Miss Brenda, Y'all don't know them, fellas. That couple right in front of y'all have followed way too many caskets down a church aisle. Tragic situations. Look where they are today. Hurting, sitting there in pain and thrilled to be in the house of God. Their life's not wrecked with pills, beer, immoral relationships. They've got Jesus. So let's fruit. If you're third generation, fourth generation, and all you've known is camp meeting and Bible and preaching and revival, all you have to do is look out there in the world and see what it has produced in their lives and say, I don't need that. All the glory goes to Jesus. But my parents are here today. Dad's preaching out a little more, but they're here today, and I'm thankful. I know it was your prayer life, but I also know it was your example. All the glory, Jim, goes to Jesus. None to me, none to them. All the glory goes to Jesus, but I want to say thank you. The world never looked attractive to me. I'm not better. I'm not better, David. I think there was just so much reality at the house of God. I was like, well, I don't need that. I got this. Somebody help me. I mirror April Lee, Brother Ricky's wife, out at Midway. Talk to her. Next time they're here, ask her. She'll say, I have no sad songs to sing. I have no horror stories to tell at church. She's told me and my wife this twice, and I've told you twice. I'm getting ready to tell you the third time. She said, my mom and daddy were real. My preacher was real. My Sunday school teacher was real. My youth pastor was real. My Christian school teachers were real. She said, I have no sad songs to sing. She said, everything I saw was real, and it's all I ever wanted. And I'm going to call her and send my wife to hug her. Give your kids something that's real. I hope the Lord lets y'all marry and have a dozen. Give them something that's real. Say amen right there. 22. Glory to God. I'm so glad I'm saved. When I stop, say the next three words. But now being made. Somebody say amen. Amen. Free from sin and become, next three, servants to God. I'll be his slave any day of the week. Gladly, Brother David, gladly. Y'all know my third word? Freedom. Remembering your enslaved condition will serve you well when it comes time to choose whether to live in victory or defeat. Brother Ains, what on earth does that mean? That was the deadest conclusion from that message I could ever. No. When we get ready to go to that battle in chapter 7 I read about last week, what I would do, I don't do, what I don't want to do, I do. Miss Brenda, you've testified about it. Woe is me. Who shall deliver me from the body of this? Remembering the fruit, remembering the fact, remembering what it was like to be lost is all you need to happen in that cranium of ours to remind ourselves, why would I ever choose sin? Amen. So let's ask that question, and I'll try to quit. Why would we ever choose sin after we've walked with God 3, 5, 7, 10, 12 years? Oh, brother, they won't. You better talk to some men. Somebody help me. Why would we? We forget what it was like to be lost. Children of Israel did it. What were they in Egypt? Slaves. I won't go there for the sake of time. Exodus 1:11 and Exodus 3:9. Write them down. Look them up. Slaves. That cruel taskmasters were there. That's who was over them. And Miss Kim, they got out in the wilderness, had a little bit of trouble, like you do, like I do. Well, we remember Egypt. Here's what they remembered about Egypt. Man, they had some good food back there. Had some awesome restaurants. Don't sound like you. I didn't see barbecue in there. Didn't see any brisket, Billy. I don't know why they is remembering all that food, leeks and onions and garlics. That must be a Jewish thing. I'm just, with all due respect, don't tell the Freeds I said that, okay? We remember how good the restaurants were in Egypt. A restaurant with a side of Taskmaster. And when the sin, the flesh, and the devil tries to remind you of how good it was, stand up and say, no, it wasn't. Say, no, it wasn't. I was lost. That's why I love church. I can be down, and somebody's going to stand up and say, I was down last week, and here's what God did for me to get me out. I'm like, wow, he did it for them. Maybe he'll do it for me. I'm be feeling sorry for myself, and somebody will remind us of where God brought him from, appropriately so. Y'all know all about that, how to testify and what's right to say and what's not. They'll just remind us of where they were. And, buddy, your mind goes, yeah, straighten your thinking out. Straighten your thinking out. And remember, I was a slave, and now I'm free. Remind yourself, remind your family, daddies, mamas, grandparents, remind those children and grandchildren of what it was like to be a slave to sin. Me and Tammy kid my dad and tell him we can preach his testimony better than he can. That's not an insult. And Hebrews chapter 12. He's got a message from there. And we said, we have heard that so many times. We preach it better than you do. And he said, hush, stay in your lane. Your kids ought to know your salvation testimony. Well, it ain't much. It's not as dramatic as them. That mountain road and New Year's Eve and Norma Jean screaming and hanging on to the door and all. It's not very dramatic. If you got saved, it's dramatic. Matthew, it's your anniversary week. Salvation, Andy Wells Teen Camp. Don't make me tell it. Somebody help me. Everybody look at him with a judging eye, okay? Are y'all with me? Let your people know what God delivered you from. Miss Kim, I never get tired of hearing it. Brother PJ, I've never one time said, oh, here he goes again. Tell it. And then break out into a song, and you can sway if you want to. This is how it feels to be free. That's the next choir song. And we're going to clap, and we're going to turn on the third beat. I'm kidding. But if I do, turn with me. We get all excited about everything else. Your team wins. And I've got a team. Fiddlesticks on the whole mess. It's going to melt with a fervent heat. All those trophies. And my team's got some trophies and some of y'all's don't. Build your life on things eternal. Get excited about something that's going to last in eternity. Okay. Remember where he brought you from. That'll put everything you're dealing with now in perspective.